without first recognizing Hal and remembering him and all that he has been to us, those of us who are his friends here. And this small group represents but a small part of the great horde of friends that Hal has developed during his lifetime. Secondly, we're also going to acknowledge the tremendous accomplishment that Francis Stewart has made to convert this 0.2-acre site into this beautiful facility that we're here to dedicate today. A number of invitations were sent out, and of course there were a few who were unable to accept the invitation, having communicated that to Francis. She's asked me to read one letter which she received because of its spirit and the love which is manifested in the letter. This is addressed to her dear Francis. This comes from Will Ryer. Fred Ryer and Al Stewart were backdoor neighbors up on, on Division, and Fred lived on Forest. And Will Ryer, Fred's son, was a day younger or older than Mark Stewart. I'm not sure which. They grew up as contemporaries, and there was a very close personal relationship between the Ryer family and the Stewart family, and between Will and Al Stewart. Will writes, "It's with deepest regret that I must decline your gracious invitation to attend the dedication of Stewart's landing. I feel I dishonor myself by not being able to attend, for if I ever had a second father, it was your late husband, Alfred. Hardly a day goes by that I'm not reminded of how I'm indebted to him for setting such a great example of duty, honor, and how a man should conduct himself. I kick myself regularly for not paying more attention to what he taught me of botany, gardening, birds, animals, canoeing, rivers and streams, fishing, and so forth. I can think of no finer memorial to Alfred P. Stewart than that which you are creating. Your husband was a conservationist before the word was coined, a superb naturalist, and undoubtedly the finest riverman I have ever met. Please express our sincere regrets to the rest of the Stewarts at not being able to attend. Please share our joy at this most excellent of tributes. Signed, Will Ryer." I first met Alfred Stewart about 42 years ago when he made the point of welcoming me as a new graduate of University of Michigan Law School into the practice of law in Calhoun County. And that was very gracious of him, typical of Al himself. Of course, he was a great deal older than I, and perhaps it was appropriate that the invitation and that greeting come from him. He was way ahead of me in practice. We found, as the years progressed, that we had quite a similar practice in many respects. Al was attempting to meet the estate planning needs of a substantial group of citizens in the Marshall area, all of whom were able to pay. I was doing estate planning for all of those in the Calhoun County area who were not able to pay. About 35 years ago, I received a telephone call from Al, and he invited me take a float trip on the Kalamazoo River in his canoe. It was our first fishing experience together. We placed our cars at successive bridges upstream some, and we fished for smallmouth and pike, drifting down what was then and is still a very beautiful, beautiful river. That experience opened up what became a fabulous fishing friendship for me. For since that time, Al and I fished. We fished on the southern shores of Lake Superior for Menominee. We fished in the Lake No Island area of the Upper Peninsula for perch and pike. We fished in most of the trout streams of northern Michigan for trout. We fished the Kalamazoo River and adjoining Mexico down in Englewood, Florida. And I cannot recount how many hours of time we may have spent together in those experiences. The last time I fished with Al was, I believe, the last time he fished. We were at their cottage at Bristol Lake, and it was a lovely afternoon. He said, "Oh, let's go fishing." So that afternoon, and early evening, he and I were in the boat, fishing for bluegill, catching some, releasing some, the small ones. That's a matter of judgment, you understand? Had a great time, and as I look back now and remember, that last fishing experience is just very near and dear to me. For 23 consecutive years, Al and I also had a long weekend of trout fishing, ordinarily in the last week of May. We would go drive up to Grayling or Gaylord, and then we would fish the Manistee or the Ossauple River for five or six sessions. If one is a trout fisherman, one understands that trout fishermen do not fish together. They fish separately, each going his own way upstream, fly fishing. But when the day is over, and for fly fishing, the day isn't over until dark, because the best fly fishing is just before dark. The fishermen reassemble and go back to the car. Our practice was to drive into Gaylord or Grayling, go to the family restaurant, have a big dinner, go back to the motel, turn on the television, watch the Tiger ball game, and begin to reminisce. He would tell me about the big trout that he had caught and released. I would lie to him. Oftentimes in those evening sessions, when we were sitting just talking, relaxing, he would reminisce about what apparently was the most significant fishing experience that he had had. And it was one that he had over and over again. When he would drift fish the Kalamazoo River with his very dear fishing buddy, the late Judge Blaine Hatch. And he would tell me time and again about the big bass that they caught and released, the pike that they didn't want and released, and the great time that they would have, times that were, I think, as dear to him as any of the outdoor experiences that he enjoyed. Now, as to an outdoorsman, Will Royer mentioned his naturalist abilities. We would be getting ready to go onto the stream. He would say, "I'll get in here and go up, and notice you go down and work back up." That's the way we would do it. He'd hear that Baltimore Oriole? Frankly, I didn't hear the Baltimore Oriole. And I'm convinced that the Baltimore Oriole must, or the woods must have been full of Baltimore Orioles, because he kept telling me, "You hear that Baltimore Oriole?" But he would keep me straight about the birds and the wild animals, and we had a great time. How appropriate it is that we gather here on the Kalamazoo River, Al's favorite fishing spot, to dedicate this facility. I'm going to call it Al's Stewart's Landing on the Milk Park. There are four of Al's choice friends who are going to share briefly with respect to him and this project. Hans Schuler is going to tell us some of the man. I understand that Hans is here, and he's here because of Alfred. He'll tell you about that. Morris Stolberg will speak as trustee of the Marshall Civic Foundation. Roger?
It's a memorable occasion. My friendship with Al was an enjoyable and rewarding experience, which I only wish could have been longer. Al was the kind of man you got to know very well in a short time. In my opinion, he epitomized a small-town lawyer we all imagined would be. He was committed to his work, he was committed to this town, and of course, he was committed to the outdoors. And that's what makes this park and this dedication so fitting to what Al was all about. Being a neighbor of the Kalamazoo River, Mark first came to me for some thoughts on Memorial for Al. We also enjoy passing grain here on the river. Being a neighbor of the Kalamazoo River, Mark first came to me for some thoughts on a memorial for Al. his love for fishing. We first considered a floating dock, Dodd's Boat Launch, but when this place, which you may recall was an eyesore, came on the market, it was my wife Diane's immediate thought that this would be a fitting place for such a memorial. Practically every day, her and I and our dog Smoke walk along the riverbank. We have often thought this would be such a great place for more people to enjoy. And now we have a beautiful, soon-to-be city park that all of our citizens will be able to enjoy. At that time, in the spring of last year, I was the Rotary Foundation president. But we also felt this would be a very appropriate grant for the foundation board to consider. With the Rotary Club's history of supporting Marshall's parks, it didn't take a lot of persuasion to convince the board to financially assist Francis and Mark with this endeavor. It doesn't seem possible. That was just a little more than a year ago, and here we are in the most picturesque piece of real estate, dedicating a fishing park in his memory. I want to thank Francis and Mark for allowing Diane and I to be a part of this memorable celebration. Thank you. Take a look over your right shoulder at that wide Kalamazoo River. There used to be a poster at the Honolulu House which showed this huge 200-foot long paddle wheeler. And that was a piece of propaganda that Marshall used to convince Easterners this was the place to be. The title of the poster was "Ho for the River." In reality, of course, the boat was only 45 feet long and the river was considerably more narrow. But that's the first reaction I have, is that looking at this beautiful sight. Secondly, I'd like to speak to you about Marshall Gifts coming and going. As we were standing chatting with Bart Cook a few minutes ago, Francis came up and said, Bart, what are your plans for maintaining this piece of property? Which sort of brought to mind three gifts that went out from the city, and now three gifts that have come into the city. The first of the gifts going out, of course, was Honolulu House, which was financed by the community through the efforts of Chet Hemmings and Boris Stahlberg, and then the late Ken Rona, excuse me. And of course, they raised the money that enabled the community and the historical society to buy the Honolulu House from Harold Brooks. Second, we get into the $1 buildings. And Marshall has been very big at $1 buildings, with usually the historical society being the victim. So that's the school board sold Capitol Hill School to the Marshall Historical Society for $1 in 1967. And of course, the Historical Society has probably spent $35,000 to $50,000 maintaining and making that particular building more attractive. And then in 1977, darned if we didn't make a deal for GAR Hall, and we bought another building for $1 and have since invested $35,000, $40,000 in that. But the society, I'm sure, is happy to do that, because these are buildings that have been key to Marshall's history and certainly add to the streetscapes of our city. But now we come to the part where the gifts come into the city, and these can be pretty rough. Just ask Bart about these. But of course, the early one was Ketchum Park in the 1960s, when that the last mills were taken down over on Rice Creek by the Rotary Club and several other organizations, 4-H, Future Farmers, all got together and turned that into a park, and then, of course, gave it to the city. And certainly this has been incorporated in the city park system and has become a tremendous asset. But here again, it's what gifts can do for a city. Then, of course, we have only Morris Stahlberg and the Marshall Civic Foundation to blame for the Marshall Civic Center, which many of you recall was the former United Methodist Church, which was given to the city in 1971. It kind of makes you wonder how the city does
balance its budget with all these continuing gifts coming in. Now we find another gift, and it's certainly an important one, that's going to add immeasurably to the beauty of the surroundings of Marshall, certainly taking advantage of an area which we know has been neglected over the years and which we hope will continue to be enhanced as years go by, and perhaps our riverfront can be as important to us as it should be. It's a great thought and a great hope. My first involvement with Stewart's Landing came when Francis called me 2 or 3 years ago and said, how can I get a marker made? Where can I get a marker made? So I looked at my records and called it back and gave her the name of one or two sources that I knew made markers of the type that she wanted. And so when I called her back, she thanked for the information. She said, now would you please call Mark's secretary and give her that information so that she can write a letter to these people and check on prices for me. The next phone call I got from Francis said, where do I go to get a boulder? That was a little bit out of my line, so I referred it to the city. And Chet Travis and Dave Davis and others who might have know of a wandering boulder in the community of Marshall who was looking for a home. And as Roger has suggested, it's just so grand to see the way things have fallen together through the efforts of the various foundations, individuals, certainly, and the cooperation of the city in making this land so attractive. So with the story of the plaque and the boulder, I will end my portion of the program by congratulating Frances on what she put together, and I'm sure it would have delighted Al, I'm sure it does delight Al, and all the members of the Stewart family that such a memorial exists. Now, for goodness sake, Bart, take care of it.
Well, I'm just delighted to be here today to participate in this very, very special, meaningful dedication, because, you see, Al Stewart was like an uncle to me. I noticed it mentioned about the reason I'm here is because of Al Stewart. Yes, that's correct. You see, Al introduced my mother and father on a blind date. And they were going over to Clark's Lake over to dance, because you see, Al Stewart had a real interest in music. One of the reasons also that Al and Ed were such great friends, they both went to the University of Michigan, and Al had the car. So they would, every once in a while, he'd say, come on, Winnie, let's go, and they would trade off on the driving and going down to Ann Arbor and back. And then, of course, after that, Winston went to Albion College, and they had mutual friends, Bruce Gray, and it just it brings back so many memories to be here today and see special people that were all friends of Al Stewart. You see, that continued into my school days, because, of course, Al was on the school board, and he and Arlie Holmes, Bruce Gray, kept things on track for me, and I particularly remember the time I had polio and rheumatic fever, and as a youngster, and I was in bed for a year, and who would come over to see me? Harley Holmes would come over, and he started me on tying flies. That was a little hobby, for the fly fisherman. And then Alfred would come over and help bring along his new design for the new Surefire fly that would land the next biggest trout, and it was great. So I have these very special fond memories of Al Stewart, or Affidavit, as my father so affectionately called Al. After school, I joined the company, and we had a board of directors for the restaurant, and who was part of the board of directors but Al Stewart. And as I say, Al was always like an uncle. He'd sit back, and maybe he was the person I could go to. Sometimes those who know Win Schuler, I couldn't really go and talk to him very much, but I could go and talk to Al Stewart. Whenever I'd get into trouble, Al would always be there, and I'd be able to go over to his office and say, Al, I got a problem. What are we going to do here? And this guy was always there for me, and I appreciate that, and I know he was there for many, many people. I have the fondest memories in the community of him helping him, you know, so this personal affection I have will always be there, and I just sort of get choked up today as I think about it coming over here. I was thinking about Dad and Al swimming in the mill pond and all the stories they would tell, and I can go on for hours, but I just want to thank Francis for doing this. This is really special, and you're very special, and I'm delighted. Thank you.
Charlotte and I are here, as the rest of you are, because we are friends of Al and Francis Stewart. Coincidentally, I happen to be president of the Marshall Physics Foundation, an organization that was founded 20-some years ago to do good things for the community. I was involved too. Since Al left us, I've had conversations with Francis too about putting a plaque up somewhere in Al's memory. I was all for it if we could find an appropriate place, and certainly this is the appropriate place. When I show a lot of people around Marshall, and I do that quite often because I'm very proud of this community, I love it, and I want other people to have the same love for it that I do, I tell them not only is it a beautiful location, a beautiful city with well-kept lawns and homes, but the people are somewhat different. We may argue among ourselves for many things, but when somebody has a good idea, all he has to do is stand up and promote that idea, and the whole town rallies around and accomplishes that idea. And I've seen that happen with the Honolulu House. I saw it happen with the Civic Center. I saw it happen with the school building, the high school. I saw it happen with the athletic field, the stadium. And this is how things happen in Marshall. Somebody, in the last case, Hans Schuler, calls me one day out of a clear blue sky, says, Morris, I'd like to buy you lunch. Well, I've been around a long time. You don't. My answer to him was, no thanks, Hans, I'll buy my own lunch. And he said, well, all right, well, meet me at the restaurant. And I said, no, I'm not coming on your turf. I'll meet you at the big boy. Well, I finally agreed to meet him, and we came and we talked. And then he says, because to tell you the truth, we're different generations, and Hans and I don't usually share a sandwich together. But so I knew something was coming, I just didn't know what. So when he says, do you know that the Marshall, that there's $187,000 in the building and site fund? I said, yes, I know that. And you want to build a stadium? Great idea. He said, how do you know I want to build a stadium? I said, well, it's not a new idea. We tried to talk your dad into doing it once, and he wasn't terribly interested. But you've got a son who's a star quarterback on the football team, and the next year is his last year. If you don't want to build one now, nobody will ever build one. We built it. We set out to raise $50,000, and in 2 weeks we raised $100,000. And it's another monument that makes me feel so good every time I go there. I don't watch the football game so much as I watch the crowd that's there because of efforts. But that is only an example of the way things are done in Marshall. First, somebody has to stand up and say, I've got an idea, and then they follow me. Now, the Marshall Civic Foundation is ideally equipped to handle just those kinds of situations. That's what a community foundation is for. When people like Francis Stewart say, I've got an idea, and this is the idea, and I'm willing, you know, I've got some money, I would like to invest in it, but I haven't got quite enough to do the whole thing. Well, then all, if the idea was good enough, and in this case it was, everybody rallied around. The Marshall Civic Foundation is ideally situated, so we became the fiscal agent for this. We received the property and the money from Francis. We made a contribution in our own name for money that the foundation all has. We received the gifts from the Tronin Foundation and from the Marshall Rory Foundation, and with many gifts from many interested people who heard about the project and contributed to the foundation. Our name is on, as the foundation is on the name, on the contract, for the contract that built it. And here we are, a year or less away, and we've got this beautiful site. It's a perfect example of how things get done in Marshall. And thank goodness that thing, and I'm very proud of the fact that the Marshall Civic Foundation was available and was able to do this kind of thing. Of course, Mark and Francis have been up to their chins in this project for several months now. And they've done the majority of the work. But finally, just the last week, Thursday or Friday, Frances saw me in the bank and she said, well, I just signed the deed over to the city. She said, so it's no longer mine any longer. And I said to her, no, Frances, it'll always be yours. And everybody that's here today knows that because of her, this beautiful place is here and is functional and will be appreciated. Everybody who will come in the future and will take time to read that plaque will know that this was her project and the things that she was involved in out of love for Alfred. But most importantly, I know it's in the case of most of us who get in any way involved in the community, she will know that she had something to do with this beautiful gift to the city of Marshall. And she should be very proud of that fact. And I think that Alfred certainly knows, and I'm sure that he's equally proud. Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan. It is true that... It is true that Francis has spent a great deal of time and energy above and beyond. She's given of herself, her affection for the community, love for Alfred, and of her assets, that this could be achieved. And the Stewart family canoe is over on the boating ramp as an indication of what the purpose of this facility is. There are the benches. There will be a small picnic area, an enclosure here in phase two of this project, and there is yet a great deal to be done. Francis, we thank you. Let's express that appreciation.